Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Election year math. One district, two long-term incumbents, one election. We are 1 month away, less, just a few weeks from the June 5th congressional primary in New Jersey, where one long-term Democratic incumbent will be going home. Let's talk about it with Bob Henley, WNYC's own contributing editor for politics and investigations. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Brian.
So this is a race between Bill Pascrell and Steve Rothman. And already some people are thinking, what? Congressman Pascrell and Congressman Rothman? I like them both.
Right. There's about a dozen of these across the country where, because under the census, of course, every 10 years there's a responsibility of the states to redistrict and have it reflect the population shifts. New Jersey, of course, while it grew in population, did not grow sufficiently enough to hold on to that 13th seat. Things were rejiggered. When the music stopped, Mr. Rothman, a veteran, it's funny, ironic, both Pascrell and Rothman came to Congress in 1996. Rothman was living in Fairlawn, where he'd lived for years, and that turned out to be in the domain of conservative Republican Scott Garrett, who's an incumbent. And so Mr. Rothman was presented with a choice, which was to which he decided to do is move to Englewood, which was now included in the 9th district. He had been mayor there, certainly has ample bona fides as being a key part of that part of Bergen County, had been the surrogate of Bergen County, the mayor of Englewood. That put him into a contest against Bill Pascrell. Political analysts think that the terrain, it was a very pragmatic decision by Mr. Rothman in the sense that the map that was created favored him. But there was a lot of consternation. Other Democratic partisans had hoped that he would take on Mr. Garrett, and they thought perhaps in an election year with President Obama at the top of the ticket and strong numbers in New Jersey that perhaps they could actually have a net pickup. So there was some disappointment within some Democratic circles.
And certainly a sad day for progressives because they will lose one of the two liberal Democratic congressmen from that part of New Jersey. And we're talking mostly about parts of Bergen and Hudson counties.
And Passaic.
And listeners, we want to know how you're going to make this decision if you're in the newly drawn 9th district. Englewood, Teaneck, Fort Lee, North Bergen, Hawthorne, Secaucus is in this district. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, between Steve Rothman and Bill Pascrell. So they had a debate last night, and Rothman is trying to position himself in this clip as the true progressive. Listen.
I've had the great privilege of pointing out the differences in the records between myself and Mr. Pascrell to prove that I really am the only true progressive Democrat in this race. I'm proud, for example, of my 100% voting record for a woman's right to choose. Bill voted 18 times to restrict a woman's right to choose. NARAL calls Bill mixed choice. They call me pro-choice.
All right. So
I think for context, we should talk about the fact that the response that Pascrell has given in the past is that, as a matter of conscience, he is opposed historically late-term abortions. Otherwise, he says he totally supports Roe v. Wade. And then also he says in his yeoman position on Ways and Means, and this is important, as a Ways and Means Committee member, he was really critical to getting President Obama's landmark Affordable Health Care Act out of committee. That meant actually working with Republicans, particularly on this thorny question.
So he said,
exactly. So he says, in essence, those votes that he's making an issue of, Rothman's making an issue of, are something he wears with honor because ultimately in lawmaking you have to compromise, and he feels very favorable about the president's Affordable Health Care Act.
So he's suffering in a way from a very common incumbent candidate problem, which is that he has a voting record that's complicated and somewhat contradictory for the real world. For instance, many of these votes were as Democrats were trying to compromise in the run-up to passing Obamacare,
exactly,
as you mentioned.
Right.
But doesn't Rothman also have a record of compromise and occasionally breaking with party orthodoxy if he's also been since
1996? Actually, this is where there's kind of an echo of this, where he certainly was way ahead of the curve is Congressman Rothman was the first House member and I think the only one before the primary back in 2008 who endorsed then-Senator Obama against Senator Clinton. Mm. The conventional wisdom was the party hierarchy and elected officials lined up pretty much uniformly behind Senator Clinton. Makes sense. Very prominent, tremendous support. And what we've seen here is a kind of echo effect of that, because now Senator Pascrell, of course, Congressman Pascrell backed Hillary Clinton. Now who should come into the mix but former President Bill Clinton on the side of guess who? Bill Pascrell.
Not the one who endorsed Obama.
Exactly. And then also last night we found out that from Congressman Rothman that David Axelrod wouldn't be appropriate for a sitting president to pick one of these candidates over another, both long-term Democratic incumbents. But according to Mr. Rothman, we can expect a campaign visit from top White House strategist Mr. Axelrod on behalf of the Rothman campaign. So it's kind of an echo effect of 2008.
And we played a Rothman clip. Here is Pascrell from the debate last night mentioning the way in which he sees the campaign going negative. Here he is talking about an ad that Rothman is running.
Just recently, he said, I'm in favor of billionaires. He took a clip out of an interview with Chris Matthews when we were talking about health care, and he took that clip, oh, your campaign is clever, all right, at what I said about protecting health care and the options that we had in front of us, and he put it into an ad against me saying that I'm in favor of billionaires and millionaires and want to protect their tax.
So Bill Pascrell from last night, and I noticed that PolitiFact, which monitors the truthiness of political advertising, also called out Rothman for that ad.
Right. Giving pants on fire, I think, was
full
the distinction.
Pants on fire, right. Lowest rating.
Right, but then Rothman took on PolitiFact and brought in Paul Krugman and disputes that Krugman has had with the way the PolitiFact looked at or characterized the Republicans' alleged attempt to go after Medicare. So, you know, the thing here that's so important to keep in mind, Brian, is that this is kind of like a fight in a tree fort. Unlike last 2008, where President Obama and Senator Clinton's primary excited unprecedented participation in the primary. It was really something. Great story to work. Everyone was engaged. You had record voter registration leading up to that. This is a contest that may be decided, some analysts say, by 20% of the Democratic electorate. Mm-hmm. So it's really niche marketing.
It's going to be a low turnout election. Maybe if the June 5th New Jersey presidential primary had meaning, there would have been a much higher turnout in general, a lot more buzz before the election, whether it would be for Republicans or Democrats. Just more people would have been hearing about it, more people would have come. So maybe some of you are listening right now are in this private little club that's actually going to turn out and vote. There was a similar thing in Ohio where Dennis Kucinich and Marcy Kaptur were redistricted together.
Good analogy.
Two
Great.
Of the most progressive members of the entire House of Representatives, and they already had that primary, and Kaptur won. Kucinich now ends his career in Congress. But listeners, if you are in this district and are choosing between Rothman and Pascrell with very similar voting records, how are you going to make up your mind? Give us a call. We just have a few minutes for this. So if you call right up, you'll get right on. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You Englewoodians, Teaneckers, Fort Leans, North Bergenites, Hawthornomats, and
portions of Passaic and Hudson County.
Make something up for people from Secaucus. What would you call somebody from Secaucus? The phones are open for you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Progressive versus progressive. You don't want to have to make this choice if you're a registered Democrat in New Jersey, but here it is. And I will mention, if it's really a matter of how liberal are you,
right?
Rothman has a rating of 88.29% with Progressive Punch,
right,
the organization,
right,
that ranks members this way, 88.29%. Progressive Punch grades Pascrell at 87.56%. In other words, there is, when you round off to the nearest single percentage point, there is no difference between these two.
It's funny because what is happening, though, and this is one of the things that's a genius about the framers, this is calling upon the candidates here to actually identify voting groups. For instance, there's one of the largest concentrations of Arab American voters in this district.
In the Patterson area, mostly, right?
There's a discussion now. Congressman Rothman brought up the fact that when there was disclosure about the NYPD's covert surveillance of Muslim cultural institutions and businesses in Newark, he wrote a letter to Eric Holder. The deportation of a popular imam came up with Mr. Pascrell supporting keeping him in the United States. So these are issues that get really local.
By the way, our producer, Jody Avigan, realizes that it's obvious what you should call people from Secaucus. They obviously should be called Secaucasians. Pam in Leonia, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pam.
Hi, this is the first time I'm calling
Yay.
You.
Yay. And?
And I was in Rothman's old district. I was always happy with Rothman. I was mad when I heard he didn't run against Garrett. I think he should have done that. And like he was bragging in last night's debate that he goes against Tea Party people and all, that was his chance. I didn't think it was right that he went against Pascrell. I didn't know anything about Pascrell. I then looked into this, and I couldn't decide. But what changed my mind was, first of all the negative advertising against Pascrell, which I believed, and I thought I was going to vote for Rothman when I heard some of this stuff, like the drilling offshore and all this stuff. But mm-hmm. when it got cleared up and I found out that it was really a kind of dirty politics, the way he was saying these things about Pascrell, and each one could be explained, I'm voting for Pascrell.
Pam, thank you very much.
It's funny. This reflects on what I think is actually a void in leadership in the National Democratic Party. I can't imagine, you know, I'm reading Carol's fabulous book about Johnson, you know, looking back at Alter's work on FDR. These larger-than-life political figures, I would like to think maybe it's too Capra-esque, but the idea that they would summon Congressman Rothman to the White House and say, to the Rose Garden, and say, here's how it's going to be. You're going to take one for the team, and, you know, if you lose, you'll have a soft landing and be Treasury Secretary or something. But we're in a period of self-interest. And I think so you see Congressman Rothman pursuing what clearly is in his self-interest.
Michael in Edgewater, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
How you doing? I'm in Rothman's old district. I think it's a bit unfair to characterize it as, you know, he had a choice. I mean, they carved up his district well. I think that in regards to at least the Bergen County area that he's from, I mean, I like Chris Christie, and we tend to be fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And I think although, you know, both candidates, you know, fit the bill somewhat, I think, you know, Rothman tends to, you know, demonstrate the Democratic values more well. To say that he should have, you know, willingly gone into the night is, I think, you know, is a mischaracterization. I think he did what was best for him, and he did what was best for his constituents. So I know Rothman. I like Rothman. And I'm going to vote for Rothman.
Michael, thank you very much. So
yeah,
we've got one for each there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things is that, you know, looking at the fact there was apparently all kinds of money that would have come to that race if it was Rothman versus Garrett. Of course, as a political journalist, you're always fascinated about the hypothetical. This kind of contest that we're having now, it's important to keep in mind that the voters in this contest are likely going to pick, because of the nature of this district, the next congressman from that district. So that's a key reason why in some ways it's disconcerting that just 20% of the Democratic Party registered voters are going to be picking the next representative from that district, because generally, historically at least, there's been nominal Republican opposition.
Deb Gallant from the Montclair local blog BaristaNet just tweeted at us, it's like a game of musical chairs from 1960s birthday parties, huh? The districts get consolidated and somebody is left standing. So who is going to run against Garrett? Which Democrat is going to take
primary.
On this?
I brought that list here. There's been some in and out. I have the list.
There's a primary, and that's another show.
Right, exactly. There's also, I mean, one of the things is that there's, you know, you're not seeing the situation here where someone, you know, had Rothman gone up against Garrett, it would have truly been a national contest. That's not to say that's what Rothman should have done. It just would have been a different kind of race.
Real quick, Joyce in Englewood, you're on WNYC. You have a candidate, Joyce?
Yes.
Yes, I do, and I really struggled over this one because I think Pascrell is a much better, more decent human being than Rothman. However, I have decided to vote for Rothman because choice is my major issue, and I think he is better on choice, and for me, that did it. Even if I don't think much of him, I like the way he votes.
Thank you, Joyce. Elizabeth and Wayne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
My choice is Pascrell because I have met him personally once or twice. I like the way he debated last night better than Rothman. I also kind of resent the fact that Rothman didn't run against a Republican, decided to run against a Democrat, which means that we're going to lose one very good liberal for the Democratic Party. I also think Rothman seems more like condemning all the time. He didn't seem as conciliatory as Pascrell. So I think those are my reasons.
Thank you very much. Well, Bob, we're running out of time. We've taken two calls for each of the candidates.
Right.
We could go on like that based
right.
on our board.
Wow.
So I guess this is not to be predicted at this point, which of these two, you know, progressive stalwarts from New Jersey congressional delegation will survive on June 5th.
Right. I think that it means that every vote is going to matter. And for those who do turn out, it gives them kind of like an amplified vote in the sense that they're just going to be fewer votes. So they're the ones that are cast are going to be precious.
WNYC's Bob Henley, thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, New York always likes to beat Boston at things, right? So a new study shows that New York has passed Boston as a center of technology. More startups here, more jobs, more than Boston now, second only nationally to Silicon Valley. We'll survey the New York tech scene and what it means for our local economy. Coming up next with Jenna Werthen from the New York Times Bits blog. Stay tuned.